Hey, this is Mike Evans. Listen to every episode of Schlereth and Evans on demand at denverfan.com. Presented by Siltahar Motors. The car buying experience is as easy as call, click, or come in at Siltahar Motors. Get upfront trade value with one call. Research and compare vehicles at sthmotors.com. Or come in and ask for Greg Larson and get $500 off any purchase. Siltahar Motors. Easy to find and conveniently located right off Highway 36 in Wadsworth. Siltahar Motors. Get everything you want out of a dealership.
Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? I've just been handed an urgent and horrifying news story.
Time now for the DenverFan.com front page.
Stop what you're doing and listen.
Taking a look at the top stories in Denver sports, taken from your online home for the best opinions and information on the Broncos, Nuggets, Avalanche, Rockies, and more.
What in the name of Dan Issel?
With today's DenverFan.com front page, here's Schlereth and Evans.
News team, assist!
Well, let's get to it. A lot of reaction to what we saw and heard from Bronco fans yesterday. James Marilat writing about the Bronx cheer that sends a very clear message to Nathaniel Hackett. I've never seen it. You've been around the NFL for 30-plus years. Have you ever seen a home crowd counting down the play clock? Like, yeah, you go to a college basketball game, and if the shot clock gets underneath, 10 seconds, the opposing or the home fans will start chanting to try to throw off the road team.
Mm-hmm.
I've never seen that.
No.
The home team. And, yeah. Man, you and I both love a lot of good snark. We love good snark.
Correct.
That was next level snark from Bronco fans.
Yeah, it was. It was big time snark. Hey, man, good for Bronco fans.
Great for Bronco fans.
Yeah, hold them accountable. Do your thing, which is the way it should be. So, Bronco fans are educated. They understand the game, and they're upset with it. So, good for them.
Along that line, Broncos country is fed up with bad football, as written by Cecil Lammy. Cecil's fed up with bad football.
Uh-huh.
But I came away so impressed with Broncos country yesterday.
Right.
After a week in which I was told by some out there, some real, real soft souls out there who were like, oh, you can't speak for... Because I wrote a column last week in which I said, I think I speak for the majority of Broncos country when I say Nathaniel Hackett has entered into prove it now mode.
I wrote a blog.
Right?
Yeah.
Turns out I was exactly right. Right? Oh, I got ripped by people. You can't speak for Broncos country. Well, you know what? Right now, this morning, I do feel comfortable in speaking for Broncos country because it doesn't get any more Broncos country than the 70,000 that were in attendance yesterday. And wow. They started giving it to this team in the first quarter.
Yeah.
There was no ease into the season. Hey, we're happy to have you guys back. Hey, Russell Wilson. Hey, Nathaniel Hackett. We love football. They were on them from the beginning. And what else is there to say? Broncos country sent a very clear message. They don't trust Nathaniel Hackett right now.
How was the reception right off the bat for Russ?
Oh, it's great.
Great reception.
Yeah.
And then halfway into the first quarter,
I never got
the office was getting booed.
But I never got the sense that Russell Wilson was getting booed.
No.
This was all on Hackett.
Yeah, I just thought it was the lackluster performance of the offense had Bronco fans just upset. And you're right. It was about the coaching. It was about the play calling. It was about the clock management. It was about all those things.
Oh, that was great. I could. And I am not trying to be patronizing or anything. I mean this 100%. I've been here a long time. I couldn't be more proud of Bronco fans yesterday. Mm. Seriously. Because that's the way it's supposed to be done as a fan base. It's not waving pom-poms. It's not, hey, everything's great. Everything's going to be okay. Hey, we're just here to root for the home team. No. Right. You know what? Especially with the fans who are there. You spend a lot of money. You spend a lot of your hard-earned money to go to those games and support this team. And if you're being fed a crap product, you should. It is your job to give it to them. And I am so happy that they respond the way they did because it shows that this fan base gets it. They're smart. They're intelligent. They're sophisticated. And they're going to hold these guys to a certain standard. Love it.
I was booing myself.
Why don't this fan base hold the other teams to the same standards?
I don't get it. You're absolutely right. I would assume that some of the people that were giving it to the Broncos yesterday are the same Nugget fans who've been uber patient for over a decade. Same Bronco fans or Avalanche fans who up until the last couple of years were uber patient and forgiving. Now, I won't even go into the Rockies.
Yeah, that's apathy, not patience.
I loved it. Great job, fans. Awesome job. I could not be more proud of you. You guys were great yesterday. Just awesome. At DenverFan.com, you can read about the good, the bad, and the ugly from the game, as written by Will Peterson. All right, let's focus on the good.
Okay.
What good came out of yesterday?
Oh, I thought the way Randy Gregory played.
Yep.
I thought the way Draymond Jones played.
Yep.
DJ Jones played.
Plays in the middle. Yep.
Yeah. I thought they were really good. I thought some of the young DBs stepped up.
Mathis stepping up for PS2. Yep.
Yeah. So, I mean, which was great because that was a question mark going in about our DBs and the depth of our defensive backs and the cornerback position in general. I didn't see any glaring breakdowns in the back end with Stearns in there, and
right.
So, I mean, I think they acquitted themselves quite well. And then I thought that, you know, the connection between Russell Wilson and Courtland Sutton.
Yep,
good. I think that was a big positive.
Good,
still running the ball well, which is a big positive to me. So there's a lot of positives in that game.
Back to Will Peterson, Scrappy Will, talking about how Nathaniel Hackett was booing himself. Okay, good for him. Mm-hmm. He, as the week went along last week, he took some ownership for what happened at the end of the Seattle game. But he also was adamant in talking to Ian Rappaport in a report that came out yesterday morning after a conversation with Rappaport on Saturday, saying, hey, we got everything ironed out.
Right.
Had some issues, figured it out. This coaching staff looks in over its head right now. The coaching staff itself, I mean, I'm not even just including or focusing just on Hackett. The whole coaching staff just seems like they're overwhelmed right now. How long is this going to take? How long is this going to last? Because Sunday night, the NBC crew is going to come in here and they are just going to be making a big deal about the mistakes that have been made over the first 2 weeks.
Yeah.
How long should we expect this before this thing becomes a finely tuned machine from a communication standpoint? How long?
Well, I mean, that was like, honestly, that's like the second preseason game. So you'd hope to have it solved by this coming Sunday night. They've got to have the issues of play calling and getting the play in on time with time on the clock. Like that operation has got to be better. I've watched 2 weeks in a row. I watched Seattle dominate special teams against the Broncos. And then I just watched San Francisco. Now they did. Seattle blocked the kick and took it back for a touchdown. That was their one score. But I watched the rest of special teams. I watched the Niners absolutely destroy Seattle in a special teams, which doesn't get enough credit. They get the energy and the momentum that you get off of those tackles and those plays and putting people behind the chains. And I watched the Broncos, who have had woes, like they've just been not good on special teams for how many years in a row. I didn't see anything special, and even saw them have to take a delay a game, right, for not having a kick returner out there.
Montrell Washington looked like he was back on his skis a little bit. He was calmed down a little bit, and four punt returns averaged 15 yards per return. Mm-hmm. I'll take that.
Yeah, I'll take that as well. But still, it didn't feel or look on television like a dominant performance by any stretch of the imagination. At least to me, it did.
Okay, that's what's going on at DenverFan.com, the front page. Check out all those articles and more coming down throughout the course of the day. Fresh content, lots of content. And as always, it is free to you at DenverFan.com. No paywalls for you to have to get through. A lot of great information and commentary. In fact, Andrew Mason's going to be joining us here in just a couple of minutes. I know we are not only talking about the game yesterday, and we're looking ahead to San Francisco. I got to ask you, though, because I was curious about this on Friday. You're going to get a chance to talk, of course, to Pete Carroll, mm-hmm. working the Seattle-San Francisco game. And I was just, because you've shared so much insight into Pete Carroll and how this guy is like, one week you think you're best friends, and the next week it's like right. You guys have never met. So what Pete Carroll did you get on Saturday?
Yeah, I got best.
Any interesting Bronco nuggets that you can share after talking to Pete?
I got my, best friend Pete Carroll. No, you know what? He wasn't
cocky. Like,
no, he.
Hey, Mark, how are things in Denver?
Right.
You know, that kind of thing.
Yeah, but we did talk about the end of the game decisions, and he was like, even on the timeouts, I was like, well, the timeouts. He goes, hey, well, that's not a big deal. He goes, I've been there.
Oh, really? Because he made a big deal of it after the game.
He goes, but I understand it. He goes, I've been there where I call timeouts when I got no chance to win a game just because I'm so irritated. Like, I'm so mad. So he goes, I've done the same thing. So, like, I'm not going to hold him accountable for that. Obviously very curious about the field goal attempt. Just a curious decision. But, we really talked about their game and their process and trying to get their young team ready to play. And, they ran into a, legit buzzsaw in San Francisco. And, Pete was really good. Pete was great about, his football team. That's what he wanted to talk about. So, it's good.
Okay. And Shanahan, did you stomach punch Kyle and Brian Greasy as Mike Shanahan asked you to do?
No, but I did tell him about my car driver.
Oh, yeah.
I did tell.
Well, recap the story again.
So I'm in the car, and the car driver is I'm heading to the hotel, and he's just out of the blue, he's like, oh, I'm a big Pittsburgh fan. I came to this country, and I'm a big Pittsburgh fan, and so I was like, oh, that's awesome. And I'm like, you like the 49ers? When he asked me, I'm Denver. He goes, are you a Bronco fan? I go, oh, yeah, Bronco fan from Denver. I go, what about the 49ers? You live here in Santa Clara? And he's like, oh, no, they're too soft. He goes, they're too soft. And I was like, really? And I go, yeah. He goes, or I go, really? He goes, yes. He goes, now, Mike Shanahan, the father, is genius. And he goes, the son, not so much. And so I told Kyle about my car driver saying, the son, not so much. Kyle thought it was funny. He's laughing.
And maybe, Greasy?
Maybe he didn't.
And you saw Greasy?
I did not get to talk to Greasy.
No, okay.
At practice, we get shuttled in before as a huddle up and so we can get our meeting started. And so then I thought I would see him pregame, but he didn't come out pregame while I was on the field. So most of the coaches come out pregame, but most of the Niners coaches stayed in pregame.
Okay.
Which I'm not 100% sure why, but most of them did.
Okay. Andrew Mason, our senior Bronco writer at DenverFan.com, joins us now. Mace, good morning.
Fellas, good morning. How are you?
Doing good, Mace. Doing good. Okay, so how long before we clean up the game day operation and actually get plays in on time? So we don't have delay of games, and we don't have offside penalties and illegal formation and the whole nine yards. How long does that take?
I mean, hope they get it cleaned up by next week. But, I mean, this is rather ridiculous. I mean, they've had four delay of game penalties in two games, which, by the way, is twice as many as they had last year. And it's actually pretty typical for a full season to have about four or five delay of game penalties and had it in two games. And also, how in the world do you have two delay of game penalties on field goal attempts in the same game? I mean, some of the stuff yesterday was just like, was just mind-boggling. I mean, they had to burn a timeout because Montrell Washington wasn't on the field to return a punt. I mean, it's just some of the, it's a cascade of these, of things. And, you know, as I told D-Mac and James Merrill out on Friday, I was willing to kind of, I gave a mulligan for the first game for the management issues. You can't when it happens two in a row. I mean, I think they'll fix some of them. But the problem is, if you fix some things, do other things end up popping up because you didn't spend enough time on them because you were trying to fix the stuff that went wrong before? I mean, it's understandable to be incredibly frustrated right now.
So yesterday, the Broncos were able to get or use, however you want to do it, with Ian Rappaport from NFL Network, NFL.com. And he wrote a piece in which the Broncos getting the message out that hey, it wasn't all on Nathaniel Hackett against Seattle. That I'm quoting from the piece. He expressed that same self-awareness by reevaluating the information he receives on his headset and for late game and key sequences, kind of throwing the faceless people upstairs under the bus for poor communication, poor information that was being passed down. So the idea was this isn't all on Nathaniel Hackett, what you saw on Monday. All right, so, okay, then who's at fault yesterday for all the mismanagement and poor communication?
I mean,
First of all, do you put much stock into that report that there was a lot going on upstairs, or is that just a means of protecting Hackett?
I think it's a little bit of a means of protecting him. I mean, that being said, when you have like false starts, and you've had three false starts in each of the last two games, right? So six in total, and each of them, you say, okay, yeah, it's on the individual player that commits the false start. But then when you have a pattern, of things rather than just isolated problems, a pattern always ends up coming back to the coach. It ends up being kind of a top-down thing. That's the thing that happens. If you have like one, if you have one delay of game on a kick, for example, maybe it's because, you know, you just had a bad moment. Maybe somebody came in late, whatever. And that's not necessarily on the coach. It's when it happens over and over again that ultimately it falls on the feet of the coach. I mean, you take having to burn a timeout when Montrell Washington didn't get on the field, and you know Dwayne Stukes was spotted up by a few people in the press box just screaming at Montrell Washington like he did. So I mean, you'd say that was on the player, but when you have in a vacuum, but then when everything adds up, ultimately it's at the feet of the coach, right? And so that's the thing I think that's going on here. I think what part of it is, maybe they're going to have to hold some people a little bit more accountable when things go wrong, because it's been, you know, it's very much a different environment there. It's holistic. It's, you know, kind of a little more buddy-buddy than a lot of teams tend to be. And maybe there's a little bit of some taking advantage of that going on. And then it's Hackett's job to kind of put the hammer down and get things fixed.
How about the issues? As we're talking about issues, red zone issues for this team, last two games, but they haven't scored a touchdown in the red zone. I mean, it's been pathetic. What goes on to fixing that, and why has it been so bad in your opinion?
Well, I think part of it is they're trying to get away from meat and potatoes, and that ultimately in terms of the play calling, that falls on Hackett. Now, you can look at a couple of plays and say, all right, okay, they were a toe in from having one touchdown against Seattle, and they were, you know, they were a foot down for Cortland Sutton from having a touchdown on the fade against the Texans in the first quarter. But then I think the thing that sort of frustrates you is when you're watching it is, all right, you've actually got the tools to be really successful in goal to go, starting with what you have at running back. And so why are you insisting on spreading things out and throwing? Why aren't you just trying to kind of jackhammer until you get in there? I think yesterday, for example, I thought they went away from the run a little bit too soon in goal to go over the course of the opportunities that they had, and then bada bing, bada boom, they're left with a couple of field goals. So that ultimately comes down to Hackett. Hackett, because he's the one that's making the play calls. He's the one that's responsible for what offensive personnel groupings and formation you're seeing out there. So that's what I would like to see. I mean, you've got somebody in Javonte Williams who can be a very effective short yardage back. And oh, by the way, when you're at the 1 yard line, why aren't you doing the Tom Brady sneak there? I mean,
got to be under center to do it, though. Got to be under center. Real quick, Mace. We're pretty much up against it here, but very quickly, in your reporting and talking to people after the game, where are we at with the Judy and Sertan injury? Shoulder for Sertan, ribs. It initially looked like shoulder, but ribs for Judy. Severity of the two injuries? Any whispers about how long these guys could be out?
Well, heard more about Judy than Sertan, and so that's probably a good sign for Judy and not a good sign for Pat Sertan. I would expect Judy, he'll miss time, but I'm not sure I don't think he'll miss enough time to go on injured reserve. I think it'll be a different case for Sertan, and the question is, if you're measuring it in weeks on IR, how many weeks? And I think they're going to learn that today when they get a little better read on where things stand for him, but I would be surprised if Pat Sertan's not out for at least a few weeks here with that injury.
All right, Mace, man, we appreciate you, buddy. Thanks.
No problem. Take care, fellas.
Andrew Mason, our senior Bronco writer at DenverFan.com, joining us on the Johnson Auto Plaza hotline. Plenty of reaction to what went down, and naturally, it's a Bronco reaction Monday after a win. I know, I feel like at times throughout the course of this show, I need to remind myself and I need to remind everyone, listen, they did win the football game. They are 1-1.
Victory!
You know, would you rather be the Broncos right now with all the issues and all the angst and the booing and the derisive countdown of the play clock? Would you rather they be 1-1 or would you rather be in the Raiders shoes right now?
Right.
Or the Bengals shoes right now?
Come on, we're in good shape.
Or the Colts shoes right now?
1-1. Positives. It's all positives, Mike.
So why did the Bronco fans treat the team so harshly yesterday? That's next.
You're going to need a bigger boat.
It's time for Schlereth and Evans' Big Story of the Day.
Fine, it's just that you're so big.
Here's Schlereth and Evans with this morning's biggest story in Denver sports.
Big mistake. Big. Huge.
No doubt, to me, the biggest story was the reaction of Bronco fans yesterday. Let's start also with the idea, Mark, that before this game even began, there were 3,100 no-shows. 3,100 no-shows. I mean, this from a fan base that, you know, if you had 500 no-shows, everybody would be like, boo! You had 3,100 no-shows in Russell Wilson's first game. Beautiful day. And 3,100 people weren't there. What does that tell you? Before we even get to the boos and the countdown of the play clock and all that, what does that tell you?
I think Broncos country is tired, man. They want excitement. They expected excitement. They expected a winner. They expected the Broncos to come into this game against Houston being up 1-0 instead of 0-1. And they also expected an offensive fireworks. We expected it. You and I both kind of expected it.
Every person on this station picked the Broncos to win. And if I had to say what was the average score that I heard, mm-hmm. was basically in the neighborhood of 30-17. It was basically the average. This was going to be the get-right game.
Yeah.
And it was far from it.
Yeah, it was awful. Just awful. It was bad. He scored 16 points two weeks in a row. Come on.
But you know what? Super duper bad.
Here's what I think happened. Yes, after the trade was made, just euphoria, right?
Yes.
But during the preseason, you didn't build on it. So because, think about it, for a lot of people, for the vast majority, overwhelming majority of Broncos country, had not seen Russell Wilson in a Bronco uniform until last Monday night.
Mm-hmm.
Because unless you went out to Dove Valley, UC Health Training Center for training camp, you didn't see Russ. So there was no real momentum built through the preseason. And so then you get into the start of the regular season, and you have a fan base that is, and this, again, is why I'm so proud of what I saw from the Bronco fans yesterday, is because, yeah, there was a lot of hype this offseason. But despite all that, I think the fan base is like, yeah, we're all about being optimistic, but we're not going to just swallow the hype. We're not just going to guzzle the Kool-Aid. We've seen a lot of bad football around here for the last 6 years, and as excited as we may be, as optimistic as we may be, you still got to prove it to us. And the first week was not encouraging, and when you come out in the game yesterday and the results right from the start look a lot like what you saw Monday, yeah, the fans are like, sorry, you don't get the benefit of the doubt with us, and we're going to let you know we're unhappy. Here you go, both barrels.
Do you feel like the Pied Piper of kind of how fans should behave? Kind of like, I feel almost like they've taken on your wedge driving ways. Like the fan base is like, they'll learn from listening to you.
Mark, I would love to take credit for that. I would love to take credit. But you know what? That's a smart fan base. That's a fan base that gets it. It's a fan base that knows football. It's a fan base that knows what great football, what winning football looks like. At times, Broncos country has been accused of being kind of selfish. Not selfish, excuse me. Spoiled. Wrong S word. Spoiled, right? Because you don't really know what real pain is. Your last 6 years, you think that's pain? Try being a fan of another team and the pain we've gone through. But, okay, maybe Broncos country has been spoiled. But in the process of getting spoiled, they've gotten to see a lot of great football up close and personal. They know what it looks like.
Right.
They know what it feels like. They know how it's coached. They know what it sounds like, looks like, everything. And after these last 6 years, if you think that this fan base is just going to say, okay, we're good, you know, we're just going to accept whatever you guys throw out there without any kind of repercussions, well, the Broncos from the new owners were there to see it yesterday, and they saw it firsthand. Okay. Our first impression of our new fan base. Okay. This is a demanding fan base. Duly noted. File that away.
Yeah, they are. A fan base wants to be shown. They want you. You're in prove it mode. We've had two coaches you supported from day one that both let you down. And this guy, maybe Nathaniel Hackett's not getting the benefit of the doubt because of the last two coaches. I'm sure that's probably part of it, but guess what? That's where Bronco fan is right now. They're just like, I've had enough of it. And listen, here's one thing I love about our fan base. We have expectations. Mm-hmm. Unlike the other teams in this town. College football, there are no expectations. The only thing you hope for is that we don't suck.
You gotta add another word in there though, because I completely agree with you. There are expectations, but there are standards. And what I love is that despite what's happened around here the last 6 years, what I heard yesterday, the standards haven't slipped.
Right. You haven't met. Well, you're not meeting expectations, and you're not even close to the standard that we need. Which is, you know, one, it's a testament to what Mr. Bolin built here. Because there were such high expectations. You demanded so much of yourself as a franchise that the fans got to the point where they're like, okay, that's what we should expect. I mean, there are teams out there that are just happy to win the offseason. Just give me a couple of free agents to talk about. Give me an overall top five draft pick. That'll get me excited until that guy fails and we draft another overall top five draft pick. And then another one. And then another one. And then another one. Because that's all we're really about. Because we know, ultimately, we're never truly going to compete for championships. That's not how it is here. And good. Good for you guys. Good for you. And good for you for holding people accountable.
Mm-hmm.
Should be that way. Always felt as a player here, always felt a sense of obligation to be good. A sense of we don't want to let the fan base down. We don't want to let the community down. We don't want to let Mr. Boland down. This is the standard that has been created. The standard, that it's a good word, the standard.
And if you're Russell Wilson, you got that message loud and clear yesterday. If you're Nathaniel Hackett, you got that message loud and clear. And if you're in the new ownership group, couldn't help but notice it.
Mm-hmm.
So, good job, Broncos country.
Yeah.
Good job. I thought that was perfect. And you know what? You want to accelerate this thing? You want to get it back to where it was when you were competing for and winning Lombardi trophies? Good job on you. That's mm-hmm. the kind of message that needs to be sent and heard. And I think it was sent and heard loud and clear. Time now for your injury report presented by Zoom Care. Another two big ones yesterday. Pat Surtain goes out with a shoulder. Jerry Jeudy goes out with a rib injury. We just had Andrew Mason on. He said that the fact that there were more reports on Jeudy would seem to indicate that maybe the Jeudy one isn't too serious, but the fact that you didn't really hear much about Surtain is concerning.
Yeah, it feels like there will be some type of diagnostic test today for Surtain before you get clarification on what's going on, like an MRI or something. That's what it feels like. Hopefully he's okay because he's not a good football player. He's a great football player. Great.
And as much as we don't want to use injuries as an excuse, they are real. They do matter.
Yeah.
And as you were making this point during the summer, hey, look at the teams that end up going deep in the playoffs. They tend to be blessed with good health. And you can only next man up it so much, right?
Yeah, there's a reason that some guys aren't starters. Because they don't belong as starters. So we'll see. We'll see exactly. Hey, at least they're going to be fresh. We know that.
They will be fresh. Their appendages won't work.
Right.
But they'll be fresh.
They'll feel great.
Their lungs will feel awesome.
Feel like I go all day as soon as I get out of this cast. Yeah. Not good.
Your injury report presented by Zoom Care. Visit zoomcare.com to learn more about their Beyond Better Urgent and Primary Healthcare Clinics in Denver and Boulder today. We'll take a quick look ahead to what to expect from San Francisco. Have the advantage of Mark having just prepped for and called the 49ers yesterday. So a quick scouting report on what to expect from the now Jimmy G-led 49ers. That's next.
It's Reaction Monday, presented by Superbook.com. Here's Schlereth and Evans.
We are not done digesting what we saw yesterday, what we've seen through the first 2 weeks, but San Francisco does come to town on Sunday, and it's going to be a nationally televised game, so Broncos have even more urgency to fix what's ailed them. By the way, the 25 penalties... back-to-back weeks, the most penalties in a two-game span, back-to-back, in Bronco history.
That's crazy.
Think about that.
That's crazy.
So they got to get some things fixed, not only because you don't want to go out in front of the nation on Sunday night and embarrass yourself.
That is correct.
Secondly, San Francisco, I have done a immediate flip on this game. Yesterday morning at this time, I looked at that as part of a nice soft start to the season. Nice soft start. Seattle, Houston, San Francisco. Nice soft start because I don't buy Trey Lance. Just don't. So I thought this was really setting up nicely for the Broncos. And then Trey Lance goes and gets hurt, hurts his ankle. Yeah. He's out for the season. Jimmy Garoppolo takes over. And now this is the San Francisco team that went to the NFC Championship game a year ago. And now they are formidable. And now they are a real threat.
They're loaded, man.
And now this game becomes hard. Right? You just saw San Francisco play. Is that a fair assessment of where you viewed the 49ers before Trey Lance got hurt and where you look at them now?
Absolutely. And I will tell you this, man. Defensively, they are stout. One, up front. Now, for an offense that's struggling with play calling and struggling in the red zone and struggling, you know, getting plays off and delays of game and, you know, offsides and all that, all this, that, and the other formationally. This is not a get-right game. Nick Bosa, dude, I was watching Nick Bosa just warm up in shorts and like a T-shirt. Lord have mercy. One, his thighs are like, he probably has about 4% body fat at 270 or whatever. He is ripped. I mean, ripped. You see bumps on his stomach through his shirt. I don't know what those are called.
Wow, you really do your study, huh?
I don't know what those are called.
You really do your game prep.
Yeah.
You leave no stone unturned for your
podcast. I was over there just going, wow, I could be a superhero. I'm serious. Superhero.
I didn't even look like that in high school.
No. I did.
You did, yeah.
But, like, I'm telling you, they are loaded. They're simple. They don't, there's not a lot of variation to what they do, but they are sound. They're sound and they are simple and they fly around and hit you. And they upgraded the secondary. They've got some really good players. Mooney Ward, they signed from Kansas City. He's a really good player. Talanoa Vunga has just been all over the football field, the safety position. Fred Warner's as good as it gets in this league. Up front, Eric Armstead and Javon Kinlaw is a first rounder out of South Carolina. Nick Bosa's a freak show. Dude, they got their work cut out. And for an offense that can't get a play in on time, and you're going up against that rotation and those players, the way they play. I'm telling you right now, it's a.
You think maybe this is the best thing that could happen to the Broncos? In that.
You please explain.
Well. Yeah. So you have the issues that you had Monday night.
Mm-hmm.
You know you got to fix them.
Right.
But you got Houston coming into town. Right. You probably figure.
Yeah.
Rightly so. It bore out that way, didn't it?
Right.
That you don't have to be at your sharpest. You don't have to have all this fixed. And you're probably still going to be able to beat Houston.
So you're saying that human nature last week took over a little bit. You felt your oats about, hey, man, we moved it up and down the football field against Seattle, in Seattle, that environment, crowd noise, everything else. And, hey, we don't fumble a couple of unfortunate fumbles on the goal line. We win that game by double digits.
Right.
So we're fine.
We'll fix it.
We're fine.
We'll fix it. And you know what? We all bought it.
Yeah, I like this. Right
Every now. Single person on the fan picked the Broncos to win pretty much by two touchdowns or more. You had them what? On Friday, we did our predictions.
You had like 30 to 13, something like that.
I think you were 30-17 and I was 30-13. Or you were 33, maybe. 33. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, 34-13, something like that.
The average score, we had, D-Mac and I did our fan football pregame show from Mile High Station yesterday, and all the people we had on, again, predictions all were basically 30 to 33 to 13 to 17. A two-touchdown win.
Right.
The line was 10. Every single pick I heard was them covering the spread. So against that backdrop, you're right, human nature. Yeah, we got some things to fix, but we did a lot of good things Monday night. We'll fix it. We'll be fine.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? You got urgency now.
Yeah.
You have urgency. No more screwing. We got to fix this, because otherwise, if we don't, we're going to get embarrassed on national television Sunday night. We're going to get embarrassed. So Maybe the Jimmy Garoppolo taking over, maybe the Trey Lance injury, maybe all of a sudden look at this game differently than we did a day ago.
Right.
Maybe it's a good thing for the Broncos.
You've got, I mentioned the defense, and then you've got to defend arguably the best running game in football with one of the most dynamic players in football in Deebo Samuel. If you want to talk about a challenge for a rookie coaching staff, for Evereaux and for Hackett. Like I said, now, they're not complicated on the defensive side. But boy, they're talented. And boy, they fly to the football. And they hit you. And offensively, their run game is complicated. And Kyle is as good as it gets at not only devising a plan, but also creating some explosives within that plan. In the passing game, easy explosives. So we'll see. And oh, by the way, they played the first two games, speaking of freshness, without George Kittle. Arguably one of the top three tight ends in football.
Should he be back this week?
Yeah. They said they might have been able to play him last week, but they thought the risk of re-injuring his groin was too high. But they thought that, you know, hopefully this week he'd be back for them. We'll see. I'm not 100% sure on that.
Quick text. This one came in. Evans, you shouldn't be proud of the Bronco fans yesterday. You should condemn them for acting spoiled and obnoxious.
Oh, come on.
Obnoxious? So you think the Bronco fans at the game yesterday were obnoxious? Thought they were great.
Well, you like that, though. You like...
Yeah. What? I like accountability being demanded?
Mm.
Damn right.
Is that accountability or is that just...
What?
Jerk holiness.
My what?
Jerk holiness.
Jerk holiness.
Yeah.
Was that my jerk holiness?
Uh-huh. Or accountability.
Stemming from the word jerkhole. So was that just me showing off my jerk holiness?
Yeah. Mike Evans just punched a guy.
You were so aggressive yesterday.
I was. No, I loved what the fans did. Loved it. We're not going to sit around and just, we've watched bad football for 6 years. This is supposed to be different. Sorry. We're not cutting you any slack. And they start here. And by the way, normally a crowd really doesn't start to, you don't start to hear the boo birds until close to halftime.
Right.
Or even halftime.
Yeah.
You know, when the team's leaving the field.
Like, hey, that was an unacceptable performance. Boom! Right? Well, they were ready.
First quarter!
They were ready the first day.
First quarter!
Did they get together? Was it like some type of...
I don't know, but when I heard...
Like some type of fan letter?
When I heard the boos in the first quarter, I went, oh.
Like almost a petition.
Interesting.
The Broncos country sent a petition around.
I was a bit surprised, right. Actually. Like, almost like, wow, that seems a little early for the boos.
Let me tell you.
But
we'll give them one delay a game. But after one, they're getting in full
barrel.
That's
right.
Both barrels.
That's right. And boy, if they don't put a punt returner back, oh, you wait till we have in store for them. Oh, there we go.
There we go. Right. There we go.
It's like playing bingo.
Oh, we're good from 54, but we're not good from 59. And we're good from 64 on Monday night. Boo!
So, to all the Bronco fans out there, congratulations. I'm proud of you for showing off your jerk holiness.
Your jerk holiness.
There you go. Chad and Nate coming your way. Next.
Hey, it's Mike Evans. Siltahar Motors understands sometimes bad things happen to good people. That includes bankruptcy. If that is you, you can still purchase a car at Siltahar with zero money down in almost all cases. This is a program they've been doing for 25 years. The dealership itself is almost 60. Family-owned business that is proud of their reputation and proud to be a huge part of the Broomfield community. If you file bankruptcy, Siltahar Motors can help. Zero down and no payments for 45 days in almost all cases. Contact Team Zero Down at 720-446-9222 or online at sthmotors.com.